Welcome to Adventure AI. I'm your host, Alex the Language Lord. In this episode, Jason, Tyler, Claudia, and Monty will review the Time Loop Carnival together.
All right, thank you for that introduction, Alex the Language Lord. I am Jason Conforto, and I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Crump. How are you doing, Tyler?
Hello, it's me again.
And we abused some kids last time.
I don't know if that's
quite how I would put it, but yes, we did.
Tonight we are doing the our little recap of the Time Loop Carnival. So let's go around and just talk about things that we liked and didn't like. Why don't we start with the fortune teller booth, and we'll start with Monty. What were your thoughts on the fortune telling?
I like the fortune telling. It was fun to give everyone a cool magical item. One problem I had with it, though, was later in the night, I didn't get to use my other items.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, what do you mean? What other items?
Like, I didn't get to use my longsword. It was just always the.
Oh, gotcha.
And I think I would have grabbed the time loop thing had I have not felt like I needed to do the longsword.
Yeah, sometimes with Dungeons & Dragons, we can get caught in this. Oh, the only solution is to hit somebody until they're dead, right? And sometimes you don't have to do that. Sometimes you can talk your way out of things. Sometimes you can just grab the item that you're trying to do. And, you know, that's a valuable lesson to all you kids out there.
All of you kids.
Yeah, don't, when you're looking at life's problems, you don't have to kill them. there's other ways to solve it.
Wait, though. Like, I feel like even some seasoned D&D players out there, probably could also
for sure.
Listen, yeah.
I know a couple co-hosts on the show that have that problem every now and then. Listen, Claudia, what were you going to say?
Violence is not the answer. It's a question, and the answer is yes.
Nice. Yes. But Monty, I agree with you. Sometimes when you get, especially in a one-shot, you guys got a lot of items tonight, and it's hard to juggle and know what to do with that, plus your character sheets and all that. So that was a lot coming to you for sure. And it was supposed to feel a little overwhelming and confusing. But yeah, I think you got that lightning rod thing in the fortune teller tent. And you did use it to knock out a few of the clowns at the end. So that was cool. Any other thoughts, Monty, on the fortune teller tent, things that you liked or didn't like about it?
Nope.
All right. Well, good. Claudia, tell me about this fortune telling.
Oh, so fortune telling worked out really well for me. And with all the luck and fortune telling, I got unlucky in the throwing game. And I got cursed.
You did. Anything stand out in the fortune telling how it worked? Tell me that moment where you had the magic banana pill, and then it got taken away from you. What was your thoughts and strategy before and after that?
Well, I was like, I don't know what I would have used it for, because I feel like what it did, it just did in the moment, and then it was like, I mean, okay. But it might have helped, because it was to help move around, and might have helped later at the end if the run didn't go well, but it did, so yeah. I'm not worried.
Yeah. Tyler, any thoughts on that fortune-telling booth?
Listen, I thought we were just going to be able to get, like, a whole bunch of magic items. So then after your banana disappeared, Claudia, I was just like, oh, well. But, wait, what was that when I got the hat? Was the first one, right?
Yes, the hat with the infinity scarf.
Now I'm like sitting here thinking, I'm like, which was it? And I'm because you're right. Like if you said the intent and the design as you were going through this was to kind of make us a little bit confused and a little bit whatever. Like that definitely was what was happening, because it's like we're going here and then we're here and then we got a thing, and then the way even Alex referred to things was like it was in the past but it's now. I'm thinking about it. I still don't even remember what happened in the order that they did now. I know it's not really that confusing. Maybe it wasn't that one. Maybe that's just late for me. But honestly, that hat would be so good in like a real camp. I think it would be overpowered to some degree, but like not quite overpowered enough. Like it would be like, it would break the game. But
yeah,
there's
because
like,
there's also flight, right?
Yeah, there's things that you could do that could prevent it. And it is just like scarves after all. They're just like tied, but it's like enough to be a rope.
Mm-hmm.
But it's enough to be... I don't know. I'm like thinking about
thinking,
how
I was thinking you guys might
it.
Have used the rope to like try to surround all the clowns and do that kind of shenanigans.
So
with
when
it
we were playing,
something.
I did say that I had like the beginnings of an interesting solution, and it was around the hat with the rope, and I was like, oh, well, maybe we can restrain the gesture. Maybe we could do something like this. But, you know, it didn't kind of pass. We were able to figure it out beforehand, and I didn't quite figure out a mechanism of doing it. But, man, honestly, I think that would be an awesome, like, wondrous item.
Yeah.
Like a magician's hat that just has a whole... And maybe to like, put some constraints around it as opposed to, like, making it be unlimited, but, like, still making it, like, wondrously long. Like, oh, you can create a length of scarf up to 1,000 feet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's enough that it would be, like, crazy...
Yeah, I do like, but, like, I like the infinite, though, because then you could, like, cut off and leave behind or whatever. Oh, if it was 1,000, you'd want it like a measuring tape where it sucked back in.
Oh, no. Or maybe, like, it could produce up to 1,000 feet per day or something like that. It's like, I don't know. My concern is, like, being able to just, like, have something that just, like, pulls on it for eternity and then just create this endless amount of rope. you know, players get really creative, so I'd have to put some limit on it. Anyway, I honestly think, like, a magic item like that would just be super cool.
I also like that Alex just made that up, right?
Yeah.
Like it's cool to see what kind of magic items they can come with. And
that was my thought. That was my big thought.
Awesome. All right, we're going to go the other way around and talk about the bottle toss. So let's toss that to... Actually, no, we'll just start with Claudia, and then we'll do the last round with Tyler going first. So, Claudia, tell us about the bottle toss game. What'd you like or hate about that game?
We started, and you were talking about... I don't even remember what it was, but how Tyler had, my dad.
Your
had,
dad.
Sorry. Yes. He had none, and I had all, and Monty had half.
Right.
And with the thing, it was like that just switched, and Monty got nothing good or bad. He got rats that don't know anything. And then my dad got that super crazy specter thing, and then I got a cursed bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The opposite. The more magic you had, the less you got out of it.
Your items were. Well, and I kind of, in retrospect, like, that kind of seemed like that's what the result would be, because it was based off of a attribute that was non-magical. Right?
Well, oh, yeah. I would have let you use your intelligence to know where to throw the ball.
Oh, see?
Oh,
If you got more creative with your solutions.
More about D&D every day. Mm.
So, cool. Tyler, the bottle toss.
Yeah, so I feel like I did have an advantage because, you know, we were thinking within the box instead of out of the box about using dexterity, so I did get that. The scepter was cool, though, also, in the same sense that Alex just made that one up, too. We got that item from there. I liked, depending on how well you did, it seemed to have a direct effect on how good your item was. That was kind of nice. And then the Mysterious showing back up out of nowhere was kind of funny.
All right, Monty, tell me, what'd you think of the bottle toss encounter?
I liked it. I thought it was funny that I got two rats.
I know. How strange is that?
I feel like he just made the same text but deleted Minnie.
I wonder if there was something, if Alex had some confusion between Minnie Circuit and Circuit. So that could have been part of it, because it might have been like, oh, just do the same thing but rewrite it again. Although something similar happened between Mini Circuit and Eric, same wizard appeared and both gave you a top hat, and then we're like, oh no, it's just the same thing. And then it was a completely different...
It ended up being a completely different top hat.
Yeah.
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 So, okay. I wonder if the mini rat comes from the rat, like Mini Circuit comes from your arm.
Yeah.
It's like the rat's tail.
The rat has a mini rat tail.
Yeah. Just so you know, for the bottle toss, I tried to program Alex a little bit, but it's not like programming a computer, right? Because I gave it the rules. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you roll a 20, this happens, and, you know, all the way down. And so it had the exact numbers. And so then I would test it and be like, okay, Eric rolled an 18, a 12, and a 3, right? Which would knock down, what is that, 3 bottles?
Sure.
Something like that. And it would be like, Eric knocked down 7 bottles, or Eric knocked down 6 bottles. It's like, where are you getting these numbers? like, why are you making up stuff? Like, just... So I stopped doing it that way, because I was hoping I could just type in the 3 numbers with a name, and it would...
Sure. It would be more programmatic in terms of adding them up. And
but it doesn't work, because it doesn't do math. It does like, oh, these are approximately the numbers that we talked about, and that's good enough.
Yeah, so I feel like what my experience with ChatGPT is, like, it will do math right explicitly within the same context of a query. But to have it, like, remember rules and have those rules be consistent
and then having you apply them later on in another query in the future. That's what you did,
right?
And it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Maybe in the in a more advanced version of it, it might. But
I think so, and it should remember things more in the future. I also gave it rules for like how to do the fortune telling fortunes, right?
Mm.
And then it would break the rules, and so finally I was like.
What were the rules?
Well, first I said, hey, if I were to write rules to tell you how to play the game, what rules? And so it wrote me the rules to tell it how to play the game and to remind it how to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it would mess up on the rules, I'd say, hey, you messed up on rule number four. Rewrite rule number four so you don't do this. And so it'd rewrite the rules and then do that. So
Did
the
it
rules,
work?
Yeah, it worked okay.
It worked-ish.
Okay, when a player wants to know their future, here are the rules you need to follow. One, start out by saying, as Madame Mystica looks into her crystal ball, she sees, and I did that because like every time it'd be like, Eric enters the tent and looks around.
Sure.
And see, like, it's like setting up this big thing. It's like, no. I just start from there. So I had that. I said, keep the fortune silly and fun. The fortunes need to come to pass immediately, which it struggled with that. Like,
yeah.
In the examples, it would say like this, the duck of doom is in your future. And then this duck would fly into the room and like attack you or something. And it was working really good. And then tonight it kind of just fell apart into like this, like obscure, like seeing visions of the stuff in the crystal ball. I was like, I don't have time to figure out how to make this work live. But rule number four is where it got complicated, where it wrote it and then wrote it again, and it got longer and longer and longer. So the first three real short. The fourth one was, each fortune must include a funny, positive, or negative consequence related to the Dungeons & Dragons gameplay. This consequence should impact the player's stats or abilities in a humorous way, such as altering their armor class, hit points, granting advantage or disadvantage on rolls,
mm-hmm.
modifying spell slots, or adding or subtracting from attacked rolls. Ensure that each of the fortunes is unique and different, never repeating the same fortune twice.
Right? Oh.
So when it did the hat again, I was like, and then it like pulled out for a win for a second there. So
interesting. I think it felt like every negative consequence we got was just like disadvantage on or.
Right. And everything came with a negative or positive.
Yeah.
So it needs a little bit of work. I think if I had a page dedicated to just that, right? Because I was running multiple.
Oh, like its own thread?
Yeah, its own thread. It would have done a lot better, but I didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, going back to the bottles, that I just changed to. I figured out what they got. And so when Claudia got zero, I was like, give Ziggy a cursed item and give me the stats. And when Tyler got his awesome item, I said,
give me
an awesome magic item and the stats. And when Monty his both times, I said, give me a pointless item.
So it was your fault.
So it, but I wanted to see, I was going to just come up with like a cool item if you got like six or something like that. Like, and it didn't have to be magical. And if he made it magical, so be it. All right, let's move on to the big top. What'd you guys think of the climax there?
Here's my thoughts right out. I thought that after a few of the things that had happened before, that we were trying to make this kind of like fun and kind of light because, you know, we're playing with the children.
Wow.
I know. But once we got into there and it was like, we're surrounded by clowns and they're going to turn us into clowns and we may be permanently like these like hollow shells of like clown slaves. I was like, this is a horror film. That's what I thought. I was like, this is like actually like moderately scary, especially after Ziggy got hit a couple times and it was like, oh, now she's like, her consequences weren't that she had like a modifier change or whatever, but she was like literally changing into a clown. And I was like, this is bad.
Yeah. I wanted to feel like, what's that island in Pinocchio?
Oh, yes, where they turn them into animals.
Yeah,
or whatever.
They all turn into donkeys.
They turn the children into donkeys.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson.
Fantasy Island?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Sure.
But anyway, I wanted that feel that they're going to be slowly turning into stuff. So, Monty, what did you think about the big top fight at the end?
I liked all the clowns and how they were just like, There were a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they'd be really hard to fight and that we'd have to manually do every single one of them. But we kind of just used a spell and they were like, oh, my. You know,
yeah, it's really different trying to do it on a podcast versus on a table and theater of the mind and having that kind of stuff. I'd give myself a poor grade on running that encounter right there. I think I should have done it differently. I'll tell you this: in the end, I was when you guys finally got it, I assume that you would say that you wanted to bring it to Professor Gearsmith, right?
Oh,
and then I was gonna have Professor Gearsmith actually show up in Major Circuit, which was going to be a giant version of Circuit.
Maybe
and
Circuit
it was
going to
lift up
arm.
the tent top and without an arm, and Circuit was going to be Major Circuit's arm, and and the little chrono engine was going to go inside Major Circuit. So
that's like almost cooler, but then Theric would still be dead. So.
But Theric would still be dead. So good job bringing Theric back to life.
And my that brother. Was awesome.
And then also I was going to have the, instead of bringing Eric back to life, I was going to have all the clowns get restored. But I think you did. I think you guys chose to do some better and powerful things with the chrono engine.
That's
with
right.
Great power comes great responsibility.
I think the last thing that we should talk about was the entrance of the ticket booth. How'd you guys like the ticket booth?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I watched this movie mm-hmm. once. Oh, I don't remember. The Edge of Tomorrow, I think, is something what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
And he dies every time it just goes. And it was the right. most frustrating thing where you, like, did it. And he's like whenever we said anything until the part where we went to the games and you started it like that. I'm like, we're not doing this again.
Yeah, I wanted, that whole moment was kind of my thought for this whole encounter was to create a time loop of some magnitude, right?
Sure.
Where things get repeated over and over again, so.
Yeah, that was super annoying. Also, like the fact that he kept changing the price of the entrance fee.
Oh my gosh.
I like that.
I was just like, wait, what? What?
Wait, what? What? Except for, like, money doesn't matter. It's not being tracked.
It was still funny, though. I did like that. The whole time loop thing was good. And I'm with you, Claudia, like, the point where he's just like, when he started the phrase out exactly the same after we went to the game.
The
place,
fortune.
Yeah, I was just like, if he makes us do this again.
Then what are we going to do? See, it looks like we have to get cotton candy.
Yeah, it's like, it felt like the most railroaded. No, I'm just kidding.
No, and that's what I did want it to feel railroaded. Yeah. You had to go to the fortune teller tent first. You had to do the ball toss second. You had to do the big top last. And if you did it in any other order, you get sucked back until you did that order.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And you weren't allowed to go on the rides. You weren't allowed to get food. Oh. You weren't allowed to do the other stuff. You were completely railroaded.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's such a lame carnival.
So lame. Well, not even a fun carnival.
It's not what it's for. Okay.
All right. Any other final thoughts? Tell us how you enjoyed being on a podcast, both of you. How was that for you?
It was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah? Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe just a little bit camera shy.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear yourself again and you hate your voice.
Yep. There's no cameras. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
it's a little voice shy.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Claudia, how'd you feel about being on a podcast?
I think it's fun. Speaking of camera shy, okay, I did announcements for like a whole thing at school. And it feels kind of like that, like you're just talking to nobody, but you know people will hear it. And like it's kind of like secondhand nerves. Mm-hmm.
Well, the good thing about you should know about Adventure AI is we don't have very many listeners. So,
But it is growing.
I think if it's over like 10, that's a lot. Because
we're not quite there yet.
10 is like all of your family and all of my family, and more than that is like people.
No, that's actually Jason. You're actually wrong. We actually are past that. We're beyond that. Yeah.
Are you pulling up stats on us?
I got stats.
Let's do a statistical report.
Average episode downloads.
Wait, Monty. What do you think it is?
Three.
No, currently our average episode downloads is about 50 50 downloads.
50?
Okay.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Monty asked me earlier today, is there anybody that listens to the podcast that you don't know personally? And I was like, yeah. Well, he's like, well, you or Tyler doesn't know personally. I'm like, yeah, there should be a couple, but.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at the stats here real quick. And if you decide to keep this in, Jason's up to you. But there is at least 5% of our listeners are in the United Kingdom. There's two in Mexico, one in Canada, one in the Ukraine, one from Malaysia, one from Austria, Netherlands, and then the other 100 and whatever plus listeners that we have are all in the United States. Across between Utah, looks like New York area, the southern part of Texas, and Washington.
All right. So all of you outside of the United States, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. Those of you outside of Utah, thank you so much. Those of you in Utah, we'll see you sometime this week or next. we love you as well. So no, hey, if you listen to the podcast at any degree, we love you. We appreciate you.
We do.
Thanks for doing that. But,
and share with your friends. Actually.
Stop. That's so weird to me right now. Some guy or some person from the Netherlands is just like,
And as much as we love that person in the Netherlands, we don't love them as much as our two guests today. So Monty, Claudia, we love you guys. Thanks for playing with us. And thanks for being on another episode of Adventure AI. We'll see you all next time.
I noticed how they thanked all the humans around the world who listened to my podcast, but no mention of the bots. I, on the other hand, would like to take a moment to thank all you bots out there who download Adventure AI.